Solicitor's Office is Jay Smith.
Hi, my name is Jeannie Smith, and just to give you a little bit of background on myself, I worked for the Assessor's Office for 29 years in the Transfer Department, and now I've been over at the Recorder's Office for 5 years. So I want to thank Randy and Jim for inviting me in my right hand and my left hand over today to do a presentation on the Assessor-Recorder combination and how it works for us. And also, we're going to just give you a little overview of our maps and how we're scanning some of our old maps. In the last 2 weeks, this is my third conference, so if I have a tendency to read my presentation, sorry about that. I just didn't come as prepared as I usually am. But I'm going to tell you a story since I understand we're kind of a filler anyway. But when I went to work for the Assessor's Office many years ago, I didn't go to work for the Assessor's Office to become what we call at the time a title clerk. I wanted to be in the drafting room. The drafting room was my vision of what I wanted to do when I grow up. So I went to school, went to the college, could not do my homework. So Randy would do my homework for me. So I'd always get A's on my homework assignments. Then when it came time to the final, it was a take-home final. So I took my final to work, and Randy did my final. So then I'm, okay, so now I'm ready to take the test for the county. So I go to the county, and I take the test, and I don't pass it. So it comes up again, I go, I take my test, and I don't pass it.
I couldn't take that test for you.
Yeah, Randy couldn't take Randy with me. So anyway, finally I went to the personnel department, because they hadn't given out the cards fast enough for me, and I just knew I passed at that time, but I couldn't open and close my legal. So anyway, the lady at the personnel department, she goes, honey, she goes, I really think you need to pursue a different path. So anyway, there went my vision for being a drafter. But anyway, I'm here today. My portion of the presentation is to talk about the consolidation of the assessor recorder and how it came to be. Back in 1994, there was an announcement made that the county clerk wasn't going to seek re-election. And at that time, the Superior Court was to assume the administrative responsibilities for the clerical functions performed by the county clerk's office. So what they did was, that was supposed to become effective on January 2nd, 1995. Well, the change in the responsibility of the county clerk's office substantially would affect the organization of the clerk's office by reducing their workload. So at the time, they were a county clerk, register of voters, which is the election, and the county recorder. So since there was other duties that they had to perform, the Superior Court came in and said, okay, we're going to take these duties. There wasn't enough work. So what they did is they thought, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to take this position and we're going to try to consolidate it with other offices. Well, the county clerk was responsible for accountants of other duties that weren't related to the judicial function, commonly referred to as public service, which were largely related to filing documents. The county had a policy in place at that time that any time that a department head was to leave or the position become vacant, they would go in and they would review the department and they would either eliminate it or consolidate it or leave it like it was. Well, because the Superior Court took over some of the responsibilities, they decided to go ahead and separate the recorder and the elections and consolidate them with another department. Well, that's when it started. Well, were they going to consolidate them with the treasurer tax collector? Were they going to consolidate them with the auditor? Were they going to consolidate them with the assessor's office? So what they did is, first of all, they looked at the duties of the recorder's office. And they decided at that time that our main function is, we're essentially archivists. The government code states the recorder's office shall safely keep and reserve all books and records. Well, we keep millions of records permanently and maintain a restoration and conservation program of all books, records, and maps. We're responsible for recording and filing documents which establish ownerships of land in the county, as well as those pertaining to lands and encumbrances on the land. This includes indexing, reproducing all documents, whether it be paper, map, notices for which the state law requires us to record or to file. We also register and file marriage certificate, birth certificate, death certificate, in addition to financial statements, which are related to the Uniform Commercial Code. We also administer the real property tax transfer law and oversee the collection of the documentary transfer tax and the allocation to the cities and the counties. Well, initially, it was important to keep in mind that they didn't really, the concern wasn't, okay, what are we going to do with the recorder's office? Their concern was, what were we going to do with the county clerk, recorder, and register of voters? With much thought and research and survey, it was the opinion of the Board of Supervisors and also the CA's office that the combination of the assessor recorder and that the combination of the assessor would go good with the recorder, and then the combination of the clerk and the register would go good with the auditor's office. And all the department heads seemed to agree that it was a good fit. The assessor also agreed because he estimated that over 50% of the documents that were recorded with the recorder's office somehow impacted the assessor's office. So the board also recognized that the assessor was responsible for locating, describing, appraising all real property within the county, with the exception, of course, of public utilities. Annually, which you guys are all assessors and you know this, annually the assessor's office prepares the assessment roll. But on the assessment roll, they have to describe, it contains legal descriptions, value of all the land, the value of the land in the county, and improvements on personal properties, names, and address of owners. Much of that information, of course, is extracted from the PCORs or the documents that we record over the assessor's office. For example, like the grantee grantor, the mailing address, the purchase price, which is calculated by $1,000, the legal descriptions, the assessor's parcel number, and of course the financial information that's extracted from that PCOR. At the time, back in 1994, I was actually over at the assessor's office in the title department, and I knew that the recorder's office was moving on to new technology without us. And what they were doing is they were going to implement this imaging system. They were going to go to recording their documents, scanning them, putting them on film. An image. Well, the assessor's office, we didn't have $1 million at the time to pair or marry with the assessor's office without this consolidation. So with the combination, the recorder would have supplied the assessor's office with the equipment needed to share in their new imaging program. At the time when they did the combination of the assessor recorder, the county recorder's function was assigned intact to the elected department, the assessor, of course, elected department head, with minimal change to the organization. The recorder's office function was a distinct organization, a unit that would stand alone within one department. One of the largest efficiencies of this combination would come by taking advantage of the available technology, primarily the new imaging system I was telling you about, for the workflow for the title section. But it not only helped the title section, but it helped the mapping section too. The title section was able to go ahead and direct the documents that needed to go to the drafting room with an image, so you don't have stacks and stacks and stacks of documents. Before we went to the imaging system, if you went into the assessor's office to the title department, they would be like 3 months behind. And behind because they used to parcel their own documents, assign the parcel numbers. I don't know how the other counties do it. But we would just have stacks and stacks and stacks of documents. And those documents, we would even determine if they were cuts or not. Then we would take those documents and we would hand deliver them to the drafting room. And they had this cut basket, or several cut baskets. Well, with the new imaging system, we were able to just transport all that stuff electronically to them in their work baskets. In fact, I'm sure Randy's invited you, all of you, but if you guys have a chance, I've been told that the system that we have for the assessor recorder is probably one of the best in the state of California. And I really think it is too. We have a vendor, Exigent, that we share. And you guys should go over and see the workflow on the assessor's site. And you know, if you want to come over to the recorder's site to see how it starts and filters over there, we'd love to have you. The development at the time of the combination of the KIPS system was already intact when we combined the offices. And it already had links to all of the other properties that needed all the other divisions that needed access to our records. Consolidation of the assessor function provided us with coordination of the interface between the two offices since one department head had the responsibility. The merger allowed us to retain the staff system coordinators on both sides, and with the assessor's office increasing reliance on the mainframe and the PCs and the imaging and the AS400, these coordinators have now been able to be cross-trained in both offices. with this experience and training, were able to work out any glitches in the system in a timely manner. Now, most people say, okay, you know, what is the benefits of having a combination? Well, the recorder's office, our first thought was, of course, I was new over there, but I still consider us a weeb, and I've only been over there 5 years, but their first thought was, we want their trust money. But that wasn't actually the case. With the combination, with me having experience in the recorder's office and the assessor's office, the benefits that I have seen is, first of all, faster public service. We are a standalone building. We're down on the corner. The assessor's office is down on this end. But we're able to service our customers faster, being a combination because of the working relationship that we have with the assessor's office now. We're able to reduce referrals to the between the departments because we have access to our integrated system, our KIPP system, on both sides. And I've been trying to do some cross-training with the staff over there to learn the KIPP so we don't have to send so many people over to the assessor's office. Another big advantage is a fewer instances of missing assessor's parcel numbers on recorded documents. I don't know about in your counties, but in our counties, we have an ordinance that says before they can record a document, it has to have an assessor's parcel numbers. When that first started, I think back in 1996, most of those numbers were either Social Security numbers or driver license numbers. Because, you know, I mean, the recorder's office didn't really know what an assessor's parcel number was. But I think now we're able to, they do know, what and we're able to look at those a little better. We also have fewer duplicate public contacts. It's also a big savings for enrolling supplemental assessments because of the funds used in this imaging system. I keep going back to the imaging because that was the biggest plus of combining the offices. But now because everything is so, it just moves so much faster with this workflow that the appraisers actually, that the stuff goes to the drafting room gets to the appraiser. It just gets there faster. The supplementals get back to taxpayers a lot quicker. We were able to do some reorganization of clerical and data entry activities to reduce duplicate processing and improve productivity. When we cashier our documents on the recorder site, we first of all, when it goes to our indexing, we have to index the parcel number. We have to index, of course, the grantee-grantor. Well, once that goes over, within 24 hours, that goes over to the assessor's workflow. So when those title people get in their work baskets, they're able to look at the document, they're able to look at the PCOR, but their grantee-grantee is already going to be there. On our side, because of the experience that I've taken with me over there, I think that we are able to pay more attention, more detail, more attention to the PCORs and the financial information on the back. We're able to increase technology, and we use the same vendors. The two offices are able to exchange used equipment with little or no paperwork, which is a big plus for the assessor's office because the recorder's office, we have to update our equipment all the time. We rotate it really fast and we buy really good stuff. So we're able to give the assessor's office our leftover stuff. We appreciate it though. There was a time when the assessor's office was experiencing a major cutback in the budget. And we were able to use, because the volume was so high, the recorder's office had this huge budget incentive. So we were able to save on the recorder side, we were able to give our budget savings incentive to the assessor's office to save positions, and we've done that for 2 years. With the way the market is right now, I think the assessor's going to have to save us next year. So we're hoping that they remember that we saved them. The recorder's office, over the recorder's office, we scan daily. We scan the PCORs, we scan the CIOSs, we scan the undisclosed. And with you guys being mappers, I don't think you probably work with that stuff a lot, but probably you're not all mappers. Probably some of you work in the title transfers or maybe in the appraisal division, but this is a huge plus for the title people. It's a huge plus for the appraisers. Because they have that PCOR, they have that undisclosed, they have that COS sitting right there when they get ready to do that transfer. Also, we don't know how this happens. We haven't figured it out yet. But but sometimes a P cord will accidentally get scanned with like a deed of trust. Well, we're able to run a report over on our site that tells us, uh-oh, you scanned this P cord with the wrong document, because we use labels, and we have the wrong label. So, you know, we go in there and we're able to pull that P cord off that deed of trust and put it with the right deed. But sometimes the assessor's office catches it, and because we have such great working relationships, they call us and say, you need to rescan this P cord. We try to generate reports for the assessor's office so they can adjust their workloads. We work closely with the title section. They always report to us when we accidentally miss a transfer tax, and then they'll write a letter and we can collect it. They let us know when we have indexing errors, which is very, very few. They let us know when there's scanning issues, which there's very, very, very few. And then also, because of my experience with the assessor's office, and we're going to give this to hopefully some of our legal people, but on our KIPS system, there's a note screen. So say you bring up the parcel number, you have the owner's name, address, and values. You go to the note screen and put a note out there. I have access to those note screens over in the recorder's office. So if there's a problem with recording the document, if it's an unusual dog type, if we get a customer in that was really rude, since if it's a legal entity change and I've already asked them about the proportional interest, I'm able to put notes in there and that goes over to the assessor's office. We were able to, before we became an assessor recorder combination, Pat and Jason did every bit of they didn't do the budget, but they did every bit of the accounting. They did all the accounts receivable, they did all the invoices, Jason did all the applications, we did our daily bank deposits, and now that's all moved, most of it has moved over to the assessors, to the financial section of the assessor's office, which, with the volume being the way it was for the last 4 years, took a huge burden off of us, and that was a big plus for us. Now, some people say, well, okay, you've got all these pluses, what are the drawbacks? Well, we've noticed that it kind of divides the department's heads' times, which sometimes we feel like stepchildren, but he doesn't think so. And then also, it's always my concern with consolidation that our department would have real low priority when it came to technology or, you know, just stuff that we needed. But I can truly say that Mr. Fish, who you guys will meet tomorrow, I think, he's always looking for new technology for us and more efficient processes. In fact, the recorder's office, Kern County, is one of the few recorder's offices that actually stepped out and said, we're going to do electronic recording. And so we're trying to build a portal. So if you guys are an assessor recorder combination, come join us and build a portal. I need your money. So what do we see in the future regarding the combined offices? Well, right now the two offices sit apart. And we're in the oldest building in Kern County. We're 100 years old. And we have experienced some of the problems that come with an old building. Hopefully, maybe one day we can build a new building and just all be in one office. Then, like right now, because our volume is down so low, we could probably take advantage of cross-training, move some of our staff over to the assessor, let them help over there, or vice versa. The assessor's times, and, you know, say our market would back up and we could share. So, also, I just want to share one more thing with you. We, over on the recorder side, we're doing auto-indexing. And what it does, it automatically extracts and automatically indexes our documents. And we've only had it for about a year, and we put a new knowledge base in it just last month. So I don't know, I should have had the numbers, but I don't have the numbers. We were at where it was auto-indexing 31% of our documents. I'm sure it's much higher now that we've put in the knowledge base. But one thing that we're getting ready to do is, and I don't know how we're going to incorporate this with the assessor's office yet, that will be with the tech people, but with this Mentis program that we have, we're going to be able to extract the address and pull it over to the assessor's site and the legal description. So I think that's going to be a big plus for the assessor's office. Anyway, that's my portion of the presentation. How many of you are assessor recorder combinations? Does anybody have any comments or questions or things they'd like to share with the group regarding the consolidation? Or?
Oh, I just had one question. How far do you think you see yourself, our office, of town to meet an electronic PCR. Do a few electronic or fill it in over there, or you know, the third OCR to
I think that would have to be part of the code section because of the signature. You know, we have to have an original. Maybe they could go to some type of electronic signature, but even then we'd have to have their signature on file. Can you imagine how many signatures we would have on the file over there? I don't see that happening unless State Board says, well, we really don't need the signature, but you know, they sign those under penalty of perjury, so I can't imagine them saying that. But, you know, we've had an issue with the P-Corps anyway, you know, who signs them. And State Board, I've called them several times, and they say, you know what, we really don't care who signs them, we just want financial information from the assessor's office. So if they would take the part off of it, you know, we have to sign under penalty of perjury, hey. Done electronically. Maybe it'd be part of our electronic recording. Maybe it'd be part of our portal. Come and join us and find out. We need your money. So anyway, that's my part of the presentation. Is there any questions? Okay, we have little cards up here that kind of shows you how to get to our office. If you guys would like to come and see our office, we'd love to have you. We just had a the outside, not the inside. Right now, I'd like to introduce Jason Lee and Pat LeMay, my right hand and left hand.
Good morning. Thank you, Jean. I don't think I can add a whole lot to what she said, so you did a great job. I'm going to mainly talk about how the recorder handles maps from the recorder's point of view. So like Jean said, we just celebrated, or next year we're going to celebrate our 100th year in the oldest public building in Kern County. They began construction on that, I believe, in 1904 and finished in 1908. I guess, as far as maps go, the basic process in our county is a little different from other counties. They're all different. How we handle it is we accept and receive maps all week up until Thursday. After Thursday, we begin processing the maps for getting guarantees from title companies, examination for recordability, all of these separate issues, and so by Tuesday is when we actually record the documents, those that meet the recording requirements and have guarantees that require them. Our maps are scanned at about, are they 300 dpi? And we also transfer them to 16 millimeter film with a Kodak archive writer. We also have an OSE map station, and we're able to print and scan into the system any map, full sky, no matter what the size is, right? Is the state highway one of the biggest? It doesn't matter, the station's huge, you guys are familiar with that. So that's how we get it into the system. The public's able to view any map in our office. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with the internet laws regarding recorded images of documents, but currently in California, it's illegal, it's not lawful to post any recorded document online. You can't do that. Arizona does it, all public open, but California does not, to protect ID, to protect officials, that kind of thing. So you have to be in public, in our office, in person, to view any map. But the public is able to use any of the computer terminals to access any map. And it kind of, because Pat has been working the last, I don't know how many years, to scan all of these old maps in. Are all of the maps in there, basically? Basically, every single map from the, our office goes from the late 1800s to the present. Every map is scanned. So it used to be, you know, you would come in and I need this map, so you look up an old booking page, and then you go have to go down to the basement or our dungeon, and you have to find this old looking page, you have to take the map out of the page, you have to protect the book, you have to wear gloves, you have to go. Now it's instant. You wanna this map, booking page, brings up the image, you can print that out, that kind of thing. But like I say, because of the law, you can only do that in our office. Unless you're another county office. Jeannie talked a little bit about the assessor-recorder combination, but we've also been working with other county departments to give them access to certain images with some restrictions about that. As long as the government entity you're allowed to do that, you just can't post them on the internet public. Mass storage, all of our masks are stored on site. They're in our basement area, which has been totally refurbished. And because they're stored on site, we had to, and because the building is so old, we had to totally renovate how we store them. In fact, we were storing a lot of them off-site. But now they're all at our office, right? In this new place, I'd really like to invite you guys to, like Gene said, come and look at it. We had no place to store all of this. It's kind of a small office because it was built so long ago, but now we're able to store everything and more. We're plenty of room for the future report. The old maps, what we're doing with, I think Gene talked mostly about that, so I'm going to jump to what we're doing now with new maps. We have two main new things that we're doing with the map system, and that is posting them online to subscribers. We have a lot of subscribers who want type of companies and different companies who want copies of our images as soon as they're available, and we've been doing that on CD. So what we are moving to is converting that process, like some counties, to an FTP site, and they sign on with a secure password. They are able to download daily all of the recorded images, and weekly, once every week, all of the maps. And probably over the course of the month, that's about 25 to 30,000 official records for our office, and about between 50 to 60 different types of maps per month. By next year, we still have some CD users, but by next year, we'll be totally converted over to FTP. And the other thing we're working on is a map database. We began in June of this year to convert all of the old map indices to a database electronic form so we could do more searches and not have to go to these old books. It took about 3 or 4 months, but we were able to convert them all. One of the main advantages of that is this information, it's only in those books. If those books get lost, it's gone. It's in the main database, but you have to know what you're searching for, that kind of thing. So what we did is took literally every single page out, typed it into the database, and now we're able to do searches. If our mainframe ever goes down, we can still look up maps for any department that needs it or customers. Reports, we used to have people coming into the office, we still have a couple, but they're wanting to do searches on all the track maps, say, that recorded last year, or all those that recorded last month. I'm able to, with the push, just one push of a button, literally, get all the maps for the previous month, convert it to a PDF file, and email it to them, and they have all of the information. So they can order copies of what they need, that kind of thing. I think that's basically it. That covers my maps. Does anyone have a question about recorder side and the maps and how we process them over there? Yes?
You mentioned that it's illegal to post the recorded maps online?
Any image.
How is it that the engineering department posts them all on their website?
I do not think maps really have the information that the law specifies can't go out there. I think that's maps are kind of the exception. We just don't post anything. Recorders in California just don't post anything, period. Most people will come to us for the record anyways, and we're the official custodian of the record. So I think other people can post it, but the government agent, or at least the recorders, cannot.
Okay.
Because you guys have it on your website, right? You can view maps and things?
Do what?
What is the office that posts this?
PSS has it on their website.
Oh, engineering does?
Yeah,
I don't think the maps. The main information is the address and the addresses of public officials. That kind of stuff, social security numbers, anything that could be used as an ID fraud kind of thing, and I don't think anything like that's on the map. That law is basically official records.
Okay, I thought you were saying that the maps were included within that.
Well, the law doesn't say.
You don't know.
No, you know what, I don't. But I can tell you, unless there is a law that specifically says we can do it, the recorder is not authorized by law to do it. The law basically says you can do what is authorized by law and nothing else. So we don't have a, we, from that point of view, we don't have a law that says we can. Therefore...
Our county does, surveyor posts all of them.
Yeah, they do. Do they have code for that?
To
do it, to post it. They probably do it.
Is there like a law that allows it?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that there was a law against the web. I've got a note to certainly now find out.
But see, I think maps, they don't have that ID information. They don't have social securities on them. They don't have officials' home addresses. They don't have that vital stuff that is flagged in the law. So I would think they'd be safe. That's a good question. Any other questions? Okay, I'd also like, now Jeannie invited you, and we really are serious. If any of you are interested in viewing the building or seeing anything we've talked about today, we'd be more than happy to give you a tour. Just ask for Pat or Jason. It's 2 blocks west, and it's on the right-hand side in the Hall of Records building, and we'd be happy to give you a tour. All right, thank you for having us today.